Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Well, I want to pay Stacks and Jacks. Our engineer needs to turn the sound up just a little bit. A little low here. Lou, how are you?
Very good this morning. How are you?
All right. I feel like I'm deaf, but other than that, I'm okay. S&P futures up 3.25. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up 975. What's up with you? 10-year yield, 3.07. That's probably the highest we've seen it in quite some time. I've got your buddy Ken Langone on TV, and I don't have a gun, so I had to turn it down. I couldn't shoot it. Did you know that Trump is the most brilliant president we've ever had? The world is spectacular, all because of him.
But that's in Mr. Trump's opinion. Obviously.
No, this is Ken Langone. The guy
who
used to run
Home Depot. Is he quoting the president?
No, he's quoting himself. The world is everything is just so well. Look at the stock market. Look at how well everybody's doing. Just look at these shares of stock. Just saying.
I'm kind of speechless. I can understand your desire to brandish a firearm at the TV set.
Yes, I actually have been a big fan of the regulation drop-off that he's had. I'm a big fan of a lot of the stuff they've done. I actually think the tax thing, although I don't understand the little loophole with the 21% sneak through for LLCs, and I don't understand the part about we can't seem to get rid of you can only deduct $3,000 for if you had losses in stocks or things that we can't seem to deal with, and we can't get rid of the little loophole where if you buy IBM when you're 12 and you croak when you're 90, you give it to your kids, they get to have a new basis and not the old basis. Nobody ever pays tax on it. I think that's kind of a freebie, but nobody cares necessarily.
I think in the long term, some of the other stuff that he's doing is likely more problematic than that.
I would agree.
But it's I'm fascinated with anybody that you know buys into a cult of the personality, either with the president or with his predecessor, or especially with respect to the economy. I tend not to hold presidents that give him that much credit or give him that much blame on certain aspects of the economy, absent some major foreign policy impact. But regardless, I mean, he's president when all this is going on, so he gets the credit. But still, I'm not going to jump on the Trump bandwagon. There are things I like that he does. Again, I think for a lot of people who voted for him, he was the least of two very bad choices, and the least problematic of two very bad choices. And I think that's what drove his vote.
I'm just starting to lose the people who, the listeners, and I think the contributors and to the show. Does everybody just not want to look at any of the numbers? I mean, we've been the labor market. If you listen to supporters, are better than it's ever had been. Oh, it's been $200,000 a month for 7 years, for God's sake. I mean, if you look at the numbers, you can't tell when. You can't tell when Obama came in. You can't tell when Trump came in. The only thing you can tell on Trump is the stock market, because it was down so much. Everybody thought he was going to, they didn't know who was going to win. But popped. Actually, it was down because they thought he was going to win, and then it popped up. But, I mean, those numbers, we had a couple of 4% growth quarters when Obama was in, and when we pulled right back. And some of that, and, you know, I'm going to, does anybody even know? Because I, you know, I like to look at this. Carl may be the only one who does. Mr. Carl Denninger, smart enough to figure this out. But what do you think the tariffs are going to do? One ancillary point on the tariffs, it's going to increase prices all across the board. Guess what? It's going to increase growth because the prices are all going to go up. And I'm not going to say anything bad about them. Our people that do the inflation numbers will still come out and say somehow or another inflation's 1% or 2%. Well, all of a sudden, yeah, you know, and some items are going to go up 10% this month. Right? It might be just... You know, shot glasses you buy from IKEA or something which nobody cares about, but it's there. It's real money.
It's there, and I'm much more of a free trade guy than apparently either candidate, because Mrs. Clinton backed off from her free trade discussions as well. But I'm sort of aghast at the tariff, the way the tariff thing has been playing out, and maybe it was just a short term negotiation, but it's stretching longer and longer and longer, and I'm kind of holding my breath to see what happens here. The other thing that I can't, you know, take my eyes off of, because I'm fascinated by the politics, is the I'm not sure I blame, you know, the president for all of this or not, but the polarization that's going on in the body politic is creating some real issues, and I think that's going to have some real damage down the way.
How do we, now, Lou? How do we? When you say down the way, I don't know if you were on the day that it's got to be here somewhere. You've seen my voluminous files. The letter written by, I think he was one of the gentlemen who married one of Tricky Dick's daughter, not the Rockefeller kid, the other guy. Anyway, but he's a
Eisenhower.
Oh, it was Eisenhower, not Rockefeller. Eisenhower married the one, and I think it's the other one.
Okay,
but anyway, he's in this right wing think tank, and he seems like a pretty bright dude. He said we just haven't hit bottom yet. Until we do, it almost seems a little like a divorce where you still have money left to have the attorneys fight it, and finally one day you say, you know what, we can't do this anymore. Even though we hate each other, we better talk, or we're going to be broke. I don't think we've hit bottom yet. I mean,
watching this Kavanaugh thing play out, right after the, you know, the alleged internal memo played in the New York Times. I'm astounded.
I'm too.
But what's happening? How damaging this has been to the body politic?
Well, I don't see how. I mean, it all started, you know, I guess with Bork, and it started with other people. But I think, I don't know. I have all kinds of mixed views on this, Lou, and it's I don't get how we have people that seem to have. There's got to be a judge out there who's just been a judge. Or done some stuff and had a spectacular career, maybe had some good writings, maybe was a professor, maybe did some stuff. There's got to be some, and I don't care really what his politics are. I mean, there's got to be somebody who just is sort of an independent soul. And all of a sudden now we get somebody who's been in Washington the whole time. He's been Nixon's clerk and this guy's clerk and that guy. And all is this has grown up, this idea of politics of being, obviously, if you say it's sunshine, I got to say it's raining type of thing. And he seems to me one of those guys. It doesn't make him a bad guy. That's just not my. I probably wouldn't even vote against him for that. It's just not my ideal. I don't want a Washington lizard to be in this spot. I feel this way because
unfortunately.
But I met guys from the CFTC. I met guys from the SEC board. Lou, they couldn't carry my clerk's jockstrap, for God's sake, when it comes to trading. They've never been to a trading floor, and yet these guys, what'd you do? Well, I was on Tom Daschle's agricultural committee guy. Oh, okay. How does that put you on the CFTC board? Well, what do you mean? You
know, that goes to another issue. and that is the rise of a political caste, or the development in this country of a political caste that looks to itself first for all solutions, rather than casting the net further. Kavanaugh, at least, you know, is subject to a second set or another set of justifications and standards, and that's being a federal judge. He's been evaluated in a very public and easily reviewable federal status that lets everybody see what his role is. The comment that you're making about there's got to be somebody out there whose record is cleaner.
It'd be cleaner. I just mean more varied.
His record is pretty varied, but judge nominations, especially federal judge nominations, are political, and that's why, for example, the nomination of the federal judges in Illinois is such a big deal. I mean, politicians push the executive branch for their friends, for people they know. That's a natural outgrowth of this. It's very unusual to find a president or an executive, anybody in the federal executive or state executive branch, who's going to grab somebody that they don't know, who's an unknown quantity, and drop them in there, because there's political fallout from that. You have a judge that starts making bad decisions if they're not elected, and the finger pointing goes right back to the federal executive. So that's why you have that issue.
Yeah, but the definition now of a bad decision is anything that's not far right. And if the other guys are in there, it's far left. I don't want either one of those. I want somebody actually can look at it.
I think what you're getting are people who are going to, and Kavanaugh is not far right, but nor is Gorsuch for that matter, nor is Merrick Garland far left, I don't consider Elena Kagan far left. You have people who shade in one direction or another. You have some that are very conservative, but you have most of these people are shading in one direction or another. And I don't think we're getting extremists on either side on the bench. Roberts wasn't an extremist.
No, he's not. But I mean, as I said, we're getting people though that I can predict their vote all the time or most of the time, and it bothers me.
Well, in that case, then you need to look at the. You need to look at the liberal side of the court, which votes
I'm
block.
On both sides.
No, the liberal side votes as a block far more often than the so-called conservative side. There's very little intellectual diversity there.
My concern coming down here, Lou, it's not in the future. Who knows, it might be long after I'm off space of Earth, but my concern is most of the big decisions now are going to be economic. We're getting the term I use all the time, because I got it from this attorney that is a buddy of mine that's on the show, and he's very bright, Lou Michaels. The fascist economy we have now, where it's always going to be big versus small, you know, why no unions versus Google. Google can't handle a union. They're too, you know, it's going to be that kind of stuff, and we're going to have antitrust type of things. Should Google have more information than the U.S. government? The answer is probably no, and yet they do. We've allowed these monopolies to grow to such a point where they're sucking the lifeblood out of, I believe, information. I mean, not just monetarily, but almost, you know, mentally out of or the capacity to do that. I don't see, you know, just like the guy who gave the verdict on AT&T, it was whatever the cable company or whatever. Oh yeah, it's fine for somebody to own like both satellites, the alley. The studios, yeah, it's cool. They'll be fine. They're good guys. They're businessmen. Whoa. I think the biggest decisions going forward, Lou, that's why you see in this economy right now, somebody like Langone has got nothing but money telling you how great world is because he owns stocks and they're going up. Yet the rest of the people are going, I don't know where all my money's going, and now something else is raising up. I see people in Park Forest with a three flat paying $11,000 a year in property taxes, Lou. The thing costs them $98,000. It's three times their mortgage. You can't tell me that there isn't an amazing dichotomy in how this economy is helping people or not. And then, now we're going to have the reason why people buy crap from China is because it's cheaper than here and because they don't have the dough. Do I like the fact that we're buying stuff in China instead of here? No, I don't. But I also know that if you're facing a pair of $40 blue jeans for your five kids and you're making $50,000 a year and ours are $80, you're going to buy the $40 one, right? I mean, it's just the way the world is. It shouldn't be that way. And the thing that bothers me about this tariff thing with these people is they're starting a war so they can solve it and say they did a great job for people. I have been the biggest guy in a soapbox for as long as I've been on the show, 15 years when John and I have been starting the score. 15 years I've been railing about these guys with the intellectual property. Nobody said boo, nobody said boo, nobody said boo. Now here we are, a bunch of old farts, older than me, the Commerce Secretary and Trump, we're going to go fight that war. Lou, the war is over. They already got all the Beatles tapes. They already got, I mean, now we're talking about the intellectual property. Now we're talking about is stuff that they're getting from companies out of their own free will. Yet we're not about to spank Boeing. What exactly are we trying to do here? If we're saying Boeing, why don't we just get a list? You could do this. You and Fari, you guys know all about the military and stuff. You could get a list of 20 things and said, you cannot give anybody intellectual property on this to anybody, Chinese anybody, or you're going to jail. That would be the solution on the high end. We're not about to do that. We're not about to spank the Boeing lady or anything like that. They're fine. And yet, we're gonna tax you and me because of intellectual property that Boeing gave away. I mean, it's like you going and beating up the neighbor's kid because yours disobeyed you. I mean, what are we doing here? Is there any logic to this?
You're asking for a coherent, coherent trade policy, coherent with our foreign policy, that's coherent with our domestic political policy, and you're just not going to get that kind of coherence out of a lawmaking process that has skewed itself very, very strongly toward the executive branch and toward rulemaking, and that again goes back to why the courts are so important. The reason people are fighting over the Supreme Court, the reason you have people making just fools out of themselves over this latest thing with Kavanaugh is because the stakes are high. So much of the economy is tied up in federal regulation. So much of our economic well-being is controlled not by elected officials who seem categorically unable or pathologically unable to do their jobs, but rather in unelected federal bureaucrats who are now judge, jury, and executioner under our regulatory scheme. So the more we want the federal government to do things, the more we hand this kind of arbitrary decision making power over to federal bureaucrats, and then in turn the federal judges who have to rule on what they do. So this is a natural outgrowth of the current state of affairs is a natural outgrowth of a bunch of people jumping up and down and saying, we want government to respond. We want it to respond more quickly. Who do we have to give power to so that we can get effective, fast responses? And the short answer is, we want complicated, effective solutions. So we're going to turn it over to this leadership cast of professional bureaucrats and sort of monitored or overseen by a professional elected class, and then further monitored by a judiciary that is drawn from the professional elected class.
Pretty accurate, but doesn't sound too good. Funny how you and I come at this when it's such a different manner, because I've seen businesses, I'm going to say in my business, like PTI, everybody knows, even though we're fine, and I'm a stubborn streak, and I'm going to be here as long as I feel like it. Every bureaucrat wants the PTIs of the world out of business. If they got to where they just had Schwab and Fidelity and three others to watch, that they'd be happy as a clam. They don't want small people. never did, and the big people just want to grind people out of the way. That's why there's no market makers left on the floor. Tell me why it's against the rules for market maker to go to put up a market once a week and give somebody a better price. The big guys don't want that because they think it's their market, and they don't want you offering something at 20 cents Lou if they want to sell it at 30. It's very simple. Yet, and because of my research as a young lad in the railroad industry, because I was in it, there's a huge, at University of Chicago, when I was there, they were behind the deregulation push for airlines and for trucking and stuff. And I have a, well, give me 1 second, Jay-Z, and then fire it in. There's this tipping point when you're no longer competitive, when you really don't have to watch people, except for make sure the restaurant doesn't have rats in it. And at that level, you have to watch people, but at other levels, you don't. You have to worry how much a restaurant charges people or a bar, because there's a bazillion of them in Chicago. And if one guy charges $80 for steak, you don't have to worry about it. Nobody's going to go there. And it's the industry, competitive industries police themselves. You don't have to worry about somebody selling you an electrical cord that's no good because somebody's going to say, I brought my electrical cord to United Writers Lab and I got approved and the other guy didn't. So people pay up half a buck to get the one that's approved by somebody. There's a regulation there, but it doesn't have to be government. Okay, it doesn't have to be the government. People will seek it out because they want approval. They want proof that their stuff is good, whatever, whether it's a newspaper article, whatever it is. But once you reach
that's
the point...
That's Adam Smith 101.
But once you get to the point where you allow these places to get to where they're not competitive anymore, be it a monopoly or an oligopoly, actually Milton Friedman thought a monopoly might have been better than an oligopoly, then all of a sudden you got to watch them. You can't have one railroad in the state of Illinois and expect them to give a decent deal to the farmers. It ain't going to happen. But if you had 10 railroads, it's not a problem. Now, maybe if you have a road next to them, then it's okay. But when it started out, it was just railroads, no roads. So, I mean, there's a tipping point here. Obviously, we got a tipping point in Amazon. We got a tipping point in Google. We got a tipping point in a lot of places. I don't think these idiots in Washington, if they ever could even talk together, I still don't know if they understand it enough to deal with anything. I mean,
that was my experience. I've only testified before Congress once.
Lou, we do have somebody. We got somebody on the line. Hold that thought. We have a caller, Jay-Z, or we have a tweet.
No, a caller. This is Howard. He's here.
Good morning.
Howard, hey, what's up, Howard? How are you?
Pretty good. Good morning, Lou. I have a different question entirely. Why is there a double standard? We have a Supreme Court judge trying to be named. We have a Democrat running for Attorney General in Minnesota where there's obviously a possibility that something happens with doctor's reports, etc. And the media just lets it go to the side or doesn't even pay attention to it.
Well, one's a lifetime appointment, probably. Other than that, it's...
Wait.
One of them is a Democrat and is not opposing Trump, and the other one is a Trump selectee. And it's a Republican.
But doesn't the women organizations who are pounding for equal rights and discrimination, are they ever going to wake up and say that there's harassment on both sides of the street, or the Ted Kennedys of the world and the Keith Ellisons of the world will always be around to do what they want? Well, if you're a Democrat, it's a whole different animal.
I think a lot of it goes to the party affiliation. I think another aspect of it is the fact that if you look at the world through this intersectional lens that I think dominates a lot of the press and media worldview, Mr. Ellison is he's Islamic, right? He's African American. He's black, but he's also Islamic, or is he Arab?
Yes, he is. He's a Muslim.
Muslim. Okay, so he's black and Muslim, which means he comes out of two highly disfavored, damaged populations that are very low on the quote power scale. And Mr. Kavanaugh, on the other hand, is a white male. In intersectional worldview, the power disparities all flow toward Mr. Kavanaugh and away from Mr. Ellison. So you work to balance that by saying, by ignoring whatever problems Mr. Ellison has and focus on the problems of Mr. Kavanaugh. And that's the intersectional worldview. And it's the only way I can account for the kind of double standard that you see on the Me Too movement. So, for example, when you have wait a minute, we can't rush to judgment. Let's let the process play out, or this wasn't really fair. But when it's a guy accused, it's we have to believe all women. That worldview, you know, with, again, a double standard, but in the intersectional worldview, that's perfectly consistent because the power disparities justify that kind of application of the standard, all in one direction, all against the power position.
I would almost wonder if they're doing more damage to the women's movement being like that than saying nothing at all.
Well, if you read
the commentary, you're seeing a number of feminist scholars standing up and saying, you know, this what's happening with Kavanaugh is.
All right, guys, we gotta go to break. SP Peters up 375. Dow Peters up 53. NASDAQ Peters up 14. Howard, thank you for the question. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howard, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability. Your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, my friends, Dr. Jack. I'm Tom Allen. This is Michaels. This is Jay-Z on the board. Jessica Zalewski. S&P futures up 675. Dow futures up 78. S&P's up 26. We got oil up 52 cents, 71.64. So it's like almost $2 higher than yesterday's in the morning. We're up during the day yesterday. 10-year yield 3.08 almost now. That's as high as we've seen it. We'll see if that keeps going. In Europe, we've got rallies. DAX up 62.5%. FTSE not as much. Up 13.2%. Kick around more. Up 39.7. Over in Asia, we're still pushing to the upside here. Nikkei's up 2. I guess we'll call that one flat. Shanghai down 1. We'll call that flat. Hang Seng up 70.2%. So they're very slow today, which is kind of odd because the rest of the world is somewhat bullish. Oil up 52 cents, like I said. West Texas, Brent up 26. That spread has actually come in a little bit. It's $8 today. So that spread is very, very volatile, which, I don't know, I'm going to ask Lou why he thinks it's so volatile when all of a sudden we can export oil we never used to be able to. Natural gas 2.91, which is as high as we've seen in a little bit. Arb of gas 203. I better go fill up the jalopy. God's sake. Oil down, gold down 20 cents, so not much. Holding on to its gains of yesterday. Silver down 2 cents, so not much there. Platinum continues to up 240. Copper 272, so it's unchanged. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. Cubby's not so good.
Yeah, no, they are not very good. Well, right now, last night. Anyway, good morning, everyone. It is now 6:36. Chicago's weather today will be partly cloudy with a high of 88 and a low of 69. Lots of humidity today, so dress accordingly. Phoenix will be mostly clear with some clouds, high of 98, low of 72. Cubs were beat by the Diamondbacks last night with a final score of 0-9, and the White Sox lost to Cleveland with a final score of 1-4. One accident on the tri-state going north before 87th Street. Expect up to 30-minute delays and nothing else to report. Back to you.
So, Lou, a lot of stuff going on, and it's difficult to trade it because the amount of remember 2.5 years ago when you were on the show and all I would do was bitch and moan about how the market was constantly buffeted about by various Fed people running around the world and talking in the middle of the night and changing the market. Oh, no, the Fed's going to do this. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. And how tradable it was and how I wished I was on the memo list. And I haven't heard a Fed guy say anything worthwhile now in a while. It's all coming out of the White House. Now we're going to have tariffs. Ah, come on, we're not going to have to. And if the market goes down on something and they throw Larry Kudlow out there and he says, oh, come on, we're just rousting. We're not really going to do this for sure. And then we come flying right back up. It bothers the hell out of me when the Fed did it. It bothers me when these guys do. Can't we just have a consistent policy to where the people that do the market try and find stocks that they think are undervalued and stocks that are overvalued, trade accordingly, and have the thing work its own way? Are we ever going to go back to that? I'm thinking the answer is no.
Again, you have an elected official now in power who is authoritarian. I think presidents generally, if they aren't authoritarian when they're elected, they become authoritarian in an effort to try to get things done. But you have an elected official who is strongly authoritarian, and who, you know, in addition to being an authoritarian, is one of these guys that's gonna, that basically says, I don't like the traditional power levers of Washington. I'm gonna pull these things myself. I'm not gonna trust the people underneath me to do it necessarily. And so I'm gonna try to influence this and affect this as much as I can personally. And that I think that's what we're seeing. And that's true not just in the economic sphere, that's true in justice, it's true in foreign policy. And I look at what's happening with the president right now as a sort of a natural outgrowth of what happened under both Obama and Bush and Clinton. This tendency for power to flow to the place where it can be exercised easily, effectively, and in response to certain problems. And people, for better or worse, people seem to want that. And the scary part, you know, everybody in the mainstream press, everybody was perfectly happy when it was a liberal, progressive president exercising all this power. Now it's being turned on him. You know, and this is exactly what everybody in the other side of the aisle warned about when Obama was aggrandizing this stuff and pulling all this stuff together and selectively enforcing law. The comment was, you are really going to hate it when the shoe's on the other foot and our guy starts doing the same thing. And that's exactly what's happening right now. I don't like it either, but it's a natural progression from you know what was happening under one side where President Obama enjoyed a remarkably uncritical view of what he was doing from the mainstream press, and so people agreed with it, they went along with it, but that's not the case with the current president.
Well, there's an article at Trib. Well, I'm trying to see if I can get him on as a guest when we wrote it, because I was just yesterday I was reading it again. It's a fascinating piece, and again, we're going to see if we can get him as a guest. It has to do with how lucky we are that we have Trump, and it's usually I can can imagine most sides of an argument. I cannot imagine this one, Lou. Says that everybody in America is very convinced that you can never essentially have a dictator. And yet, here is a guy who got into power. He has every piece of the blood in his veins to be a dictator. Wants absolute power control. He wants the attorney general to be basically his personal attorney. Doesn't care about Congress. Absolutely wants to shoot from his hip and kill somebody one day and not the next. So the only we've got a whiff of it now. The only thing we got going for him is that he's so incompetent he can't pull it off because he can't keep his mind on one topic long enough. So if he was as smart as the guy in Turkey or even as smart as the guy in Venezuela, that somebody here actually could take control. And yet because he wants to, we've got somebody there who really wants to, but he's too incompetent to do it. And I don't think the checks and balances.
I think it actually goes. It's actually worse than that. I think you would have had that with the Obama people, because again, without the press counterbalancing that and exposing this and pointing out the dangers of it, it's easy to lapse into this kind of comfort zone with. Oh yeah, well he's doing all the stuff that I like, and so I'm fine with it.
Well, Mussolini made the trains run on time, right?
I'm saying, say again.
Mussolini made the trains run on time.
Well, that was the joke. I mean, that was the comment. Yeah, authoritarian governments are always more efficient, and that's the cry now when something goes bad, when something goes south, is. Get how come there's not a law for this? How come somebody hasn't passed legislation to stop this or to ameliorate the damage that's happening right here? And the short answer is, well, if you do that, then you invite government into another aspect of your private life, and you allow for the arbitrariness of prosecutors and the executive branch to hold sway and hold a real position of meaning in the most mundane aspects of life. And again, we've talked about this. A huge part of why Trump is able to do the things he's able to do right now, and Obama was able to do the things that Obama did, is because at some level, the American people said, hey, we think it's a good idea to have somebody able to do that. And that's the reason.
I think I don't know if it's that. Lou, I think that honestly believe, and again, I know it's a, this is just my personality. Everything comes back to economics. I think the people that I run into that are working two jobs, they don't have the time to even read about this, much less fight about it. In my lifetime, some very, very serious decisions have been made by law enforcement or other people. In Chicago, you don't have any law enforcement anywhere if you're in these neighborhoods where these murders are taking place. There's none. I mean, in the traffic, you're on the Dan Ryan, Lou, there's not a policeman there that will stop somebody go by 100 miles an hour. They're there only on a call if there's a call afterward. In the businesses that I know, every single firm in my business and every small bank, people I know, has had some sort of a, somebody, you know, got money out of an account or did something. Every single one has had an event. Even people have their own businesses. People hacked into like, if you're my CFO, they hacked into your stuff and they sent you an email from me saying, send somebody a check, and you did. And you go to law enforcement, they laugh at you. They laugh at you, Lou. They're not anywhere part of this. So we have had entire groups of our, quote, bureaucracy just say they're not going to do their job. Stuff it, population. And the population gleefully goes on and praises their police force and praises their FBI. These are first responders. These are heroes. Lou, they don't do anything. In a lot of areas, they don't. I mean, obviously, if you're shot, they'll show up. You know, if you're white. But I mean, the thing that this is working for people anymore. I don't know what you do about it. But this entire bureaucracy, I don't think people have a clue that this is not working. I mean, it absolutely is not working. I don't think. I mean, you know what my opinion means, nothing. But I mean, you try and call anybody in a car break in. All right, just send it to your insurance company. We don't care. Who gave you the right to bail out? SP futures up 650. Dow futures up 75. Nasdaq up 27. Gold now only up 18 cents. Come down some. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821
1-800-981-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hoshi, Jay Z on the board. Mr. Lou Michaels, SP Fuse up 6.25. Dow Fuse up 75. NASDAQ Fuse up 27. Well, hey, Lou, were you involved in that marijuana stock yesterday? The, how's the name of the thing? Telray? Are you involved in this? Lou, are you there? Or did Jay Z dump you?
He was. I don't know what's going on. I'll call him back.
Very bad when your engineer tells you she doesn't know what's going on when she's in charge of the place, for God's sake. Anyway, the stock Tilray, it's one of these marijuana stocks. Evidently, Cramer talked about it the other night, which, you know, whatever. And the rest of the stocks now are not moving up as rapidly as...
Sorry, Chief. I was over here toking up. No, I didn't have anything to do with the marijuana deal other than trying to increase the stock price.
Okay, well, the stock... The thing was like 60 last week or something, or somewhere along the lines when Cramer started talking about it. The thing is up to 220. I'm watching it yesterday morning. I'm looking at the options, right? So the stock's trading 190, and I look at it like 20 minutes later, it's like 240. Well, when it was at 190, there's a strategy, Lou, and well, again, it's one of those strategies that if you explain it to somebody properly, it's a pretty good strategy compared to something else. Okay, so when I guess I can explain it. There's something called a covered straddle right, where Lou, if you said to me,
this goes back to that mouse pad,
yep,
that you gave me that has all those terms on it for various strategies,
yes,
that sound like pornographic film,
yes,
directions.
Only you would know that, Lou. You know something. The although I tell you what, I did watch. There was a thing on the History Channel, was the history of pornography. It was one of the most fascinating things I've ever listened to. I mean, where it all started, you know, the 8mm.
That's what Playboy subscribers used to talk about, too. Fascinating articles.
Well, but you know what? Back in the day, if you were a big shot, if you weren't a Playboy interviewee, you weren't a big shot. Even Jimmy Carter was a...
There's some truth to that.
Anyway, the... So this, I look at a straddle. Say Lou came to me and says, "Chief, here's enough." Well, where's IBM trading? 149. All right, here I want to buy 1,000 shares of IBM. Here's, you know, here's, or 100 shares of IBM. Here's 15 grand. 1,000 shares, say. Like that would be 150 grand. The I'd say, Lou, you know what? Here's another way of doing this. We can buy 500 shares. Put the 500 of the money for the rest in your account. We can sell an out-of-the-money put and sell an out-of-the-money call. Okay, now, it's not a naked put because it's cash secured. You've got the money in your account. And it's also not a naked call because you've got the 500 shares of stock in case it goes up. So say you sell that for a combined 10 bucks, all right? And one of the put you sell is the 140. Well, really, then, if you're forced to buy the other 500 shares, you're actually getting the second 500 share for a net price of 130. Which, if the stock's running down, you might not want to do it, but still it's better than having a whole 1,000 at 150. So that's been a strategy that people have used for years and years. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it now because volatility levels are too low. But sometimes when volatility levels are high, that can be a pretty good strategy because you're essentially, now the problem there is, if you say, well, why don't we just buy the full 1,000 shares and go on margin for the rest, and you go, that's a whole different program. But if you actually do buy half the stock and have half the money that you would have paid sitting there in the account, it's a safer strategy than just buying the whole stock. So, but anyway, the thing is at 190, if you'd have sold the 190 calls and the 150 puts for next Friday, guess how much the call and the put combined was you could have got for it?
You lost me on naked puts and naked calls.
All right, okay, so well, the stock's trading 190. Well, Drax rate 190, we're talking about the 190 call, the call option to buy it at 190, and the 150 put option, the option to sell it at 150, which is $40 out of the money. You could have got $70 for that. So the stock, get a load of this, the stock goes from there, I look at it like 20 minutes later, it's like 240. And somewhere I missed it, I guess it's up, you know.
So what was the trigger? Did they get some kind of
no? This is a Canadian.
And again, for marijuana, it's usually it's almost always legislation.
I think
passed.
It's a Canadian firm. They have both the distribution and the other. I don't know anything about it. And all of a sudden, my partner here says the thing just traded 300. Then it stops trading. So the offer goes at one point. It was offered at 140 after it had just stopped trading, like around 270 after trading 300. Then it opens at like 150. And runs back up to like 260. This is all in the space of about 2.5 hours, Lou.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that in like 30 years.
Somebody thought they had inside information.
Well, the options you couldn't trade because they were. Guess what the implied volatility was? 445.
Yeah, so that's kind of scary.
You know what? I mean, there were people trading. We had some clients trading. A couple clients made some dough trading it. It wasn't anything we did. They just did it on their own. I wouldn't touch that.
Marijuana stuff. You want to talk about a market that is absolutely dependent on government largesse or government, the whims of whatever government policy are in play. The dope market is all that because it's still at a fundamental level illegal. But the states have decided they can make money off it, so they're opening the doors to it. But it is totally subject to whatever whims, you know, some elected official or even an appointed official like the Attorney General, whatever whims they have that day. You know, if Jeff Sessions decides we're not going to give the states that have legalized marijuana, we're not going to give them the kind of deference that the Obama people did. Those marijuana markets crash. Within hours.
Well, they already won't let you use a. You can't use a U.S. chartered bank for your cash.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, although they turned DOJ's turned a blind eye to that because here in Colorado, they can do that. They can actually. They're allowing banking transactions intrastate, as I understand.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's no way you're going to. Those are all going to be state chartered banks. I've done a lot of research on this.
I'm sure that's right. They turned a blind eye to it. Otherwise, you have everybody paying everything in cash.
Well, you do.
Nobody wants that.
You still do, but they don't even want you to put a nationally chartered bank won't even put an ATM in a place. So the little old lady that goes over there to get a prescription, she can't even use the ATM because they think it's wrong. But look, I mean, to the average public, I mean, I know there's a history to all this crap. To the average public, Jeff Sessions, the idea in most people's minds that you can write a prescription essentially for an opioid that everybody knows is dangerous, and we've got a country that's reeling from these things, and yet it's still legal to write them, and you can't write a prescription for marijuana, is so imbecilic that I mean, a fourth grader thinks that's moronic because it is.
Well, yeah, and again, that's part of that's policy trying to catch up with reality, I was not a big fan of the legalization of the marijuana until I started talking to some of my physician friends who said, in terms of damage, anything that we can substitute for opioids is probably better than what we've got going right now. And listening to them, that made a lot of sense. And that changed my mind on it.
But Lou, that nobody ever has the discussion we just had. At least nobody that I ever see in politics. I mean, Colorado wants it legal because in Washington wants it legal. They want to be the first state to have it legal, so all the idiots from all the other states go buy it and they can tax the hell out of it, and all of a sudden they don't have a tax problem, yet everybody else does. I mean, it's just like gambling. You want to be the first place gambling. You really don't want to put a casino in the middle of your people because there's a zero-sum game. Whatever you spend there, you're not going to spend at the bar or at the restaurant or on clothes for your kids or on tuition. Duh. I mean, you only spend the money once, right? But the idea is, it's, I mean, in Chicago, the idiotic, our people are going to ham it. That money is really ours. We need to get our Hammond money back. Lou, it only takes you so far, that stupid logic. I mean, because now if everybody has marijuana out there, guess what? Nobody has an advantage, right?
Well, right. I mean, Colorado passed it initially. I was, you know, in the state when it happened. Colorado passed it initially because a significant percentage of that population wanted it legalized and was using it anyway.
Well, that's possible,
and
too.
That drove the train there.
But, you know, if it's medical marijuana, the tax is only 7% because it's on a prescription. If it's recreational, they can charge whatever they want. So there's another
and
reason why they would make it recreational.
You know, the interesting thing in Colorado is that the legalization of social use dope has not really appreciably.
All right, Lou, we got to go, buddy. We'll have to talk to you next week.
Market.
S&P futures up 675, Dow futures up 78, NASDAQ futures up 25. Be right back, Mr. Fari-Hamzy.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye!
The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomorrow, Mr. Farley Hamzy, Jay-Z on the board. We're putting a whip to it this morning here a little bit. We got the S&P futures now up 875. The Dow up over 100, 101. We got the NASDAQ up 32. A lot of individual stocks are working their way up. Hey, Farley, how are you?
Good morning from the Trumpkin Land.
Yeah, hey, every once in a while you can sit back, and all the stuff we talk about, Farley, is if all you need to do.
Yes.
Right now, you don't have to worry about the.
Is this advice?
Yeah, this is advice. You don't have to worry about any of the indexes.
Am I paying for this advice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't pay any of the indexes. Don't worry about the dollar. Don't worry about the interest rates. Don't worry about anything.
Oh, did you read that section, by the way, on fear about he didn't know how the money was created?
Oh well.
Oh, the conversation, his first meeting with Gary Cohen, and the Trumpkin. He was the first Trumpkin. Oh my God, where did he go to school? I think your pension would send his degree.
I think maybe they bought the building like Rodney in a back to school.
I have no idea. These guys were panicking. But anyhow, I mean, Bannon was there apparently, and Jared and Cohen. And Cohen just completely freaks out from hearing that this guy has no clue how the money and banking operates in this world. He thought he would be in charge of the Fed.
Oh God!
Where did he find this guy?
But Farley, all you have to do right now, if you're trading for clients or trading for yourself,
yes.
just get on the tariff bandwagon. Oh no, we're going to increase the tariffs. Oh no, we're not. We're going to give them a break. And just whenever you get a whiff of that, if you could get mm-hmm. it before the market, like the people in the White House, mm-hmm. all you do is trade Boeing. You just trade the one stock because it reacts more than any other stock up and down as to whether. Trade war,
now,
no trade
is that,
war.
In your opinion?
Well, I mean, obviously, they're our biggest exporter.
True.
So if all of a sudden, you know, China's not going to...
From the big aluminum...
Big aluminum...
Even though we don't have shortage of aluminum, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah, so, I mean, if the tariffs are going up, you see Boeing making a dive down $10, and then all of a sudden the next day, oh, no, they'd be able to throw Larry Kudlow out there saying it's just a little skirmish, everything's going to be fine, and it's back up $10. I mean, that's like IBM when I first came to the floor and there were no indexes or stuff. If the market was bullish, IBM went up. Down. I mean, if you thought the market was going up in 1981, there was no OEX, there was no SPX, there was no Russell, there was none of that stuff. You bought IBM. You know, it was a very rare day where the market was up and IBM was down because that was the signature stock. So I'm saying now Boeing has become. I mean, the indexes and stuff go with it, but all you got to do is trade your Boeing. and of course, that'll change. Maybe next week it'll be something else. But did you make any dough on the Hooch stack yesterday, Tellray?
No, I didn't touch that. No, you can't. I actually did not trade at all yesterday. It was Yom Kippur. So remember, we work on block and frequency, so our software was worthless yesterday. Too low, everything. So we just said, you know what? I read more of the fear. Got to take care of some admin stuff, you know. I had a tough day on Tuesday. That was not good. Monday was so-so. Made good money in the morning. Gave some of it back. Made a little bit toward the end. But yesterday was not. Tuesday was not good. So on Wednesday, I said, it's Yom Kippur. And again, the software is not signaling well because it's a footprint software. Looking for the whales. Where the big money is spent. In block sizes, and that's the only thing we have, right? The only thing we have is volume price. You have to intelligently parse it. You don't get names. You don't know this is Goldman or that was Bruce Kovner or Gil Caffrey. You just don't see that. But when the volume is low and nobody's in town, the counterparties aren't there, half of them are on holiday, our system just shuts down pretty much. And so I just took no risk. I said, you know what? You know, come in fresh Thursday. Do something Thursday, Friday, get back on the horse, and then kill it on Monday. In the meantime, reports came in on Time and Digest, ranked 1-on-1 in the country. So I put that out and, spent some time with Tico. That was yesterday.
Well,
and then at the end of the day, I hear about the pot that went crazy. Just like doesn't that sound to you like IPOs of the 99 and 2000 era?
Well, it's...
it's retail now. You can't just chase Amazon because Amazon's down. You got to go somewhere else. But yesterday, Larry was watching it, and the thing's trading 190. Evidently, it was what, 60 the other night when Kramer, you know, said to buy. I mean, Kramer, why anybody on national TV would ever recommend a stock that's just thinly traded? I have no idea. I mean,
you remember what you call it? Remember what's his name? Bear Stearns are good. They're my buddies. They're good people. Don't sell the stock.
Yeah. It's the stock is trading 190. So for next,
if Kramer was really good, street.com prices would be higher.
Well, it's
they're pinned at one.
But anyway, so I'm looking at the 190, 150. Straddle for next Friday, right? So guess what it's trading, Friday, with the thing, 190. I'll give you a clue. The volatility on the options is 460. 460. So for next Friday, we're talking, what, seven trading days, seven and a half. It was yesterday during the middle of the day. And so the 150 put and the 190 call, guess what they were for next Friday?
I'm sick. Come again. I'm sick.
The 150 put and the 190 call for next Friday. Stock's trading 190 for a moment.
How much? I don't know.
$70.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. So, of course, I look at that. I'm kind of giggling about it. An hour later, I'm doing a trade. We're doing something on our GDX position. I look back at things 240 from the 190.
Right.
So then it's like 270, and Larry goes, you haven't been watching it. It traded 300. And then he goes, they just stopped trading. So the thing's offered at 250, 240, 230. Guess where it goes offered? 140.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It goes offered at 140 as it stopped trading. That's the offer. And so Larry goes, you know, I bet if we bought some of this pig at 150, we might actually make a few bucks. The thing opens at 150, it would have 10 minutes, it's trading like 220 again. I mean, it literally went from 300 to 140 offer to 220, and now I got it at 240, 241, up another $27 this morning. I'm like, unbelievable, Pari. I mean, I wouldn't exactly call that trading. I don't know what I'd call it. I'm sure the place is worth nothing. You know, I mean, I'm sure they have no interest. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say that because I should probably look into it some more, but I doubt if they make a lot of money. Let's put it that way. At least
right
now.
Right.
I mean, you're right. That was like a dot-bomb company back. Oh, my God, is it worth 50? No, it's worth 150. Nah, make that 75. Make that 275. I mean, right? It's like valuing a railroad that hasn't been built yet. How much is it worth? Well, it could be worth nothing. It could be worth a bazillion, right? How do you know? Nothing changes.
Yeah.
So,
I'm checking some emails as you're speaking. Sorry about that.
No problem. What,
Go ahead. I'm back to you.
So, the tariff thing obviously has been bullish all week because our President Bonespur had everybody signed up for a 25% tariff and he came in at 10%. So that's reason to be bullish, I guess. So
yeah,
running,
yeah,
well, it's, yeah. Yeah, obviously it's better than 25.
As bad as you thought, that's all.
And so now we've been running up all week. I mean, and fortunately, my stuff has had a nice week. I mean, Eric, so it oils up a lot.
I like your stuff. You never have any problems.
Well, no.
I want to be like you.
Yeah, I'd rather have. Fari, if GDX closes the year at 22, I'm going to have a nice year. 18 and a half, not so much. You know.
Next webinar. Just give me a link. I want to see what you do. How are you doing this?
Well,
when I grow up, I want to be like you. I said
none of the three that we have that I have most of my people in have performed.
I'm kidding with you.
Yeah, I know, but
you begin to sound like the guys on CNBC. You don't have any losses.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's what I said. I want to grow up and be like you. I'm pulling your leg.
I'm just,
remember, it's the year of transparency.
So
right?
The difference is, Fari, that when you ask me a question.
What did you say? You want to get done because of transparency?
See, you're asking me a question.
The Trumpkin, yeah.
But you also know that I'm going to be honest with you. My three big positions for my index program people are the GDX, Silver, and XLE. And then we've got other stuff around them. Now, the XLE has not performed very well this year. It's up some.
Yeah. He wanted to release the FISA court of stuff.
Yeah.
Even though it's an ongoing investigation, and nobody inside wants to do that, no redaction, went completely out, because to him it's a court of public opinion, it's not a legal issue.
Right.
He doesn't understand law anyway.
No.
So he calls that transparency, but, and Bush, Herbert Walker, you know, the Poppy Bush, 41, did send in the FBI to look into George Thomas's issues, and the Hill, but not this time. This is not transparency all of a sudden. This is pathetic.
It is absolutely pathetic.
Gibraltar, keyword Gibraltar.
Well, I was listening to Kenneth Starr the other day, and he goes, "There's no, we're not close to impeachment." He goes, "I wouldn't go with that." He goes, "But how does the Congress not censure him for a few of the things he said?"
Yeah.
I mean, how much of a lapdog can a Republican congressman be? They're going to get their ass kicked.
This is going to be a sweep. Hashtag blue tsunami. They just lost this week. They lost all the suburban moms, and there's some indication. This is a country of statistics. If you don't understand your statistics, you're dead. Even there's indications now they're beginning to lose rural moms. You know what Mrs. Murray said to Mr. Murray when interest rates were low? She couldn't go to Rodeo Drive to spend money. Interest rates were low. This guy's a VIG. You know, he lends out of the VIG plus. So he says, "What have you done for me lately?" Guess what happened to Mr. Murray? He slept in the couch in the garage. This is how it works.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as blue wave as everybody thinks, to be honest with you. But
We'll see. I hope not. I'm a Republican, but I think Senate is in play. Forget the House. Senate could be in play. You'll see. This week is crucial. And these guys, they're just massive putting their foot in their mouth.
On the low end, here's as I see the politics of it, Farhan. I'm sure somebody blue or everybody has a better idea than me. On the low end of it, I actually think the Democrats have some people at the entry level representative area that are pretty good. They've got some people.
You mean new blood?
I mean, a new blood that are the. They fought in the Iraq War, did those kind of. That makes mm-hmm. you a good candidate.
We have the biggest wave of veterans running this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these people, male and female, are pretty darn good. And I think there's some on the Republican side, too. I think the new blood coming into politics actually gives me some hope. But I'll tell you this. I mean, on the upper end, and as a former Democrat, I can speak to this. You will not get me anywhere near that party if the leaders are Pelosi, Biden, Feinstein, and Elizabeth Warren. You will not get me anywhere near that place. And people may say I'm an old grumpy white guy and I don't want the women involved or something. But you know what? They have nothing for me. Nothing. Their policies do not match mine. They're not even close to being mine. And Elizabeth Warren, I think, has the right heart. If she came on the show for 2 months, I think maybe I could move her a little bit to where she'd be okay, because she at least has a good heart and she's pretty bright. But this concept that government is the solution to everything, it's just not true for her. It's just not.
Right.
The Republican mantra of trickle down and big business is really philanthropic. No, they're not. No, they're not. I mean, if you want to read the book Freedom from Fear, when the Great Depression started, Herbert Hoover was a guy who was Mr. Big Business, because he was a big businessman. I mean, Herbert Hoover was probably the richest president that ever ran, right? And one of the most brilliant. Was he an engineer and had all the stuff overseas?
Mm-hmm. Hoover was.
And actually, a lot of the original policies of Roosevelt, and I'm a big fan of Roosevelt's, which a lot of people don't like.
Franklin?
I'm a big Franklin.
Okay.
The other guy was the other guy was a weird duck. Teddy Roosevelt was a weird duck.
Easy now.
The idea that he spent his whole young life running around shooting animals and stuffing them.
Well,
I couldn't admit. Sorry, that's not me.
Okay, I understand.
I'm just saying.
But now you have Panama Canal, or somebody has Panama Canal.
Yeah, but I'm saying that as Hoover went to all the big businesses and said, "We need you to not lay off people. We need you to hang in there and help us out." His response after a day of that was, "I hate business people. they don't help anybody but themselves." I mean, you can't expect that. You have to have the rules set up right. I mean, it's like a football game. You just need a few rules. Baseball game. Three strikes, you're out. The bases are 90 feet. I mean, you don't have to have a bazillion rules, because then you'll choke everybody up. But you do need to set the tone. And you want to keep things competitive, right? And yet we're not doing that. And we have problems with that.
I'll tell you right. Herbert Hoover was a businessman, engineer, 31st president, 29 to 33. And prior to that, he was in the 20s. He was the Secretary of Commerce.
Yeah,
so good days.
But I'm saying he was. I'm going to say probably IQ wise, he could have been, you know, he was up there. And that was one of the first things when he first met Roosevelt, is how much smarter he was than Roosevelt. He couldn't believe he lost.
Listen, we do need people other than lawyers becoming president.
I agree.
Back to back, other than the George Bushes, all these guys were lawyers coming up the rank. We do need a little bit, and also in what do you call it, in the Congress and term limits. I understand that, but we also need them to be intelligent. Our problem is not the people, the elected people. That's part of it. No. But the root of the problem is the voting people, people who electing are. Look at the craziness you see now. So, well, I mean, I live down here. This is Trumpkin land.
But Farrar, you know, people...
You can't get into intelligent conversation here. They all get very emotional. They have no facts. They just, like puppets or parrots, they repeat whatever Hannity or Ingram say.
Well Farrar, there's a piece of paper up here.
They're not even willing to accept... How bad the ratings are.
And
they say, what do you mean? How do you say that? I said, these are public data. Go with SEC filings. Why would News Corp lie about their ad income? That they're at the bottom of their rate. They don't get it. So anyhow.
Friday, there's a piece of paper sitting here in my voluminous files. It has to do with people and their political sides. Okay? And it basically said that most... This is from the Behavioral Economics School at the University of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So most people have figured out that it's not worth spending your time to learn about the, quote, issues just because you have one vote. Because one vote is essentially like peeing in the ocean. I mean, it's nothing. Especially if you're in a state that's not a battleground state, it's really nothing. But in Illinois, your vote, whether you're Republican or Democrat, means nothing. Because, in Wyoming, it means nothing. I mean, when I say it means nothing, the Republicans are always going to win there. So if you're a Democrat, you walk down there, your extra vote doesn't do any good. Or if you're a Republican, you walk down there, your extra vote doesn't do any good. So people have figured that out. So if it's not worth it to keep up on the issues, what you end up doing sociologically is you hook up with a group. Okay, Farrar thinks the same way I do on most stuff. I'm just going to let Farrar's... He's a Republican, he's something. I'm just going to go with whatever Farrar says. And you end up with the one side or the other where clearly anybody would an ounce of brains. And I'll say this to my listeners, whatever. Anybody would announce a brain.
You're giving me a discount now?
No, if you put down 10 Republican issues and 10 Democratic issues, there isn't one person, really, if he thought about it, would agree with all 10 on the Republican side or all 10 on the Democratic side. I don't care how right or left you are. There's got to be one that you say, I don't know, maybe I got to go with these guys on that one. And yet, they won't do that. I mean, the thing that bothers me the most, when intelligent people, you drop an issue on the table, should we fix the air conditioning in the truck? I don't know, what would the Democrats say? I don't know, what would the right-wingers say? I'm asking you a question. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do the other guys tell? What do the right-wingers say? I mean, if you do that, if you back up and say, what do these other people think before I tell you what I think, I think there's a problem there, and I think we see that countrywide. Am I wrong or right?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, when I ask you an opinion...
You nailed it. You just hit it on the head. Exactly.
If I ask you about a political opinion, I want the response of Farrar Hamzy, the brilliant guy who put up put planes together, does a nice job on his stack, came from some place that I didn't come from, has a whole different walk of life than me. I want your opinion. I don't want you to tell me what Trump would say. I mean, if I want that, I listen to TV.
Give me a response I got here. You're a savant. Go back where you came from.
Yeah, well.
Did you see the answer? Wait a second. Savant closed shop in 79 thanks to the peanut farmer. 79.
Yeah, well.
They just cannot accept anything that resembles the truth. And they can't read the statistics. They don't understand it anyway. So,
well, that's what I mean.
I stopped.
I said,
guys, just remember, my opinions are posted. There's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's LinkedIn. I have interviews on Benzinga. I have interviews on Stocks and Jocks. It goes on and on. I got with Yahoo Finance. You can go there. Like Fox TV is there. Go there and look at what I've said. Then, well, as the time comes, events happen, you can go back and see how correct I was.
Well,
thank you, Salavi.
The changes, I mean, if you listen to Carl Denninger, who I hopefully have on more regularly, what he's done to me, really, actually, is it's probably an accurate assessment for it, is he's got me into looking at these economic pieces of paper that are like 20-year statistics, not this month. And you get a whole different view. If you look at, like, the employment situation, you look at, I mean, like, one last week, they were doing a fact check on Trump. This is the greatest labor market ever. And if you go back, really, from 2009 onward, we've been averaging 200,000 a month, every month for now 11 years, or 9 years. And there were 300,000 people months in the Obama, but we came from such a low level. It's just been average. If you look at that piece of paper, and I covered up the dates, you couldn't tell me when Obama got in or out, or this. Well, you can tell when Obama got in, but that was the low end of the spot. And actually, there was a lot more people left. We got thrown out of work his first 4 or 5 months. So if you start from that date, which, by the way, he always started from. He didn't start from the day he was elected. He always, or got in. It was always like that summer. Because the first few months of his electorate, it was still part of the 2007-2008 fiasco. So the labor was going down. So he was pretty much 150. I'm going to say we averaged 180 a month, 185, 190, the entire way through. Now, Carl Denninger will tell you that, by the way, that many people enter the workforce every month. So the number, if it's not over 200, you're not really gaining.
Yeah.
But if you look at these numbers, you can't tell. When Clinton, somewhere in the 90s, we went from where all these people, there's like 25, 30 million people that should be employed in art, whether they're on disability, whether all the stuff went to China, whether the factories closed, and we have not recovered from that. The number is still 92 million that are in the workforce and out. And this guy can flap his jaws all he wants. The fact is we haven't made a dent in that. And his budget deficit shows it. And I think this tariff is a real sneaky way to just raise taxes.
I mean, well, it's a consumption tax.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he doesn't get it.
Well, I mean, why don't we?
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have cutbacks on employment. We're going to have interest rates are shooting up. Look at my favorite charts for Murray and Murray show. Interest rate, look at the, hold on 1 second, what's happening here?
Well, 10-year is 3.08 this morning.
Yeah. 1 second, let me close this thing. Okay. Try and get to my chart, 1 second, hold on.
Sorry, I do have a commodity question to ask you.
Sure. Let me coach you this, right. hold on.
Yeah.
The treasury yields, okay? The 5-year, all-time high in 7 years now. It broke 2.9 and change. Now we're at 2.97, okay, percent. That's the yield to maturity. Look at the 10-year. 10-year, the 7-year high is 0.311. 3.11. We're trading at 3.08.
Yep.
Okay? 3 basis points.
By the way, if anybody wants
now,
to find
it. More room on 30. So the leasing and real estate is hit. Yeah.
Well, sure.
So when they start cutting back on
jobs, anybody?
If real estate numbers drop, permits stop, slow down, then they'll wake up. This is the early signal that 6 months from now we're going to be in trouble.
So today Trump is blasting OPEC. Monopoly must get prices down now. Does he? What are
he
they?
Has no idea. There's no clue what he's
They're 20-some% of the market. Are they the monopoly?
Yeah. He can't. He doesn't understand that. And it's not bully. This is a schoolyard bully. This is economics. It's efficiency. It's other people's interest. Rate of return. Cost of production. It's a devil is the details. This guy has never been good for details. Just read the book Fear. Listen, Woodward. I grew up with Woodward. Think about it. Because I got here in 71. By 72 was the election. Watergate happened. By 70, somewhere late in 72 on. Every day, Washington Post, and my dad would get as a diplomat. He would read this in the morning. So I was in charge. I would get his Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and New York Times. Sometimes cut them out for him, ready for him for his breakfast. That because he would span all these things. At nighttime, I would watch the TV. This is what happened there. That was his first book. He's written 18 books covering 8 presidents. He's not taking sides. He just has a huge following plus a huge name to lose. His name is on the door. If you think about it, Woodward's name is on the door. It's not Washington Post. It's Woodward. And he's not going to he's going to value that. He's not going to challenge that. And that's what comes to his way he gets his sources, how he protects them. Look at Deep Throat. How long he protect Deep Throat? Never gave it up. And we get to this era, just read what he's got. It is disheartening to look at what is happening at the Oval Office right now.
Well, okay.
How are we making decisions?
I have a humanity question.
How they analyze? How they go by data? Totally different. And we have more problems now. This is not the best economy.
No.
You know how the best economy is created? Pay down the debt.
Well, that's true. Hey,
we have the highest deficit right now. Last month was $200 billion in 1 month.
We're
running at $2.4 trillion run rate, my friend.
Hey, Fari.
I know it's season.
We got a dash, but hey, next week.
Think about it. This bubble is about to burst.
Next week, I want you to comment a little bit on why this West Texas Brent spread is so darn volatile now that we can export. I thought that spread would get less volatile. It's gotten worse or more volatile.
I'll look into it. I'm not an oil guy, but I'll look into it.
All right, buddy.
I'll talk to Captain Tico. He trades oil for me.
Take care of yourself, bud. SPV is up 675.
Enjoy.
Dow Futures up 7. Actually, Dow is up 100. We'll be right back, Mr. David Adelman. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Todd. This is Jay-Z on the board. S&P futures up 975 now. Dow futures up 112. NASDAQ futures up 37. We got oil up 23 cents. 10-year yield stuck at 3.083. But that's higher. Obviously, Fari just said that the 5-year yield is 2.97. So as to why you'd give these guys another 5 years for 0.2%, I don't know. I would not necessarily recommend that for my clients. But then again, I guess we could go back the other way to rates go lower, but I'm going to bet on the higher part. Around the rest of the world, we've got, or Europe, we've got DAX up 67.5, FTSE up 14.2, CAC around up 42.8. Evidently, everybody's pretty happy with the 10% tariff versus 25. I don't quite give away any tariffs a good thing, but then it's just me. Nikkei up 2, call that flat. Hang Seng down 1, call that flat. Everybody's guys have been all over the place. Hang Seng up 70.2%, 27,477. So they're comfortably above the 27,000 number now, but still way above their 16-year lows. Still not doing so hot. Oil, like I said, up 23 cents. West Texas, Brent down 25. So that spread has actually come in. The spread is now $7.80, which is really something. It was 10.50 like 4 days ago. Gold is up 89 cents. Silver up 1 cent, so not much going on there. Copper 272. We'll be asking David about that. Platinum continues every day. Platinum is up. It's a good thing I don't have to buy anybody some engagement ring. Although, I suppose you can always find somebody who wants one. I better not say that too loud. Anyway, what do you got for us, Jay-Z? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago's weather today will be partly cloudy with a high of 88, low of 69. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Lots of humidity today, so dress accordingly. Phoenix will be mostly clear with some clouds, high of 98 and a low of 72. Cubs were beat by the Diamondbacks last night with a final score of 0-9. White Sox lost to Cleveland with a final score of 4-1, and there are no accidents to report. Back to you.
So, Jay-Z, when it's your turn, are you going to demand a platinum band or is gold okay?
I don't really care.
Well, if you're allergic to gold, you'd care.
Yeah, that's true. But so I'm not.
You're not. You know, you already know that. You've already tested it out.
Yeah, I wear right. White. I wear white gold.
Oh, actually. White gold. All right. So you do have a preference, white gold.
No, I mean I just they were a gift.
Ah, all right. Well, I'm just saying, David. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The platinum's cheaper now than gold. Which is unusual. Almost $400.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
So I mean, platinum's the bargain. It used to be a huge premium.
Yeah, it was a big premium when I used to sell the rings in high school, or high school, in college. Thank God.
I can remember futures, you know, in the boom days, $200 over gold. It's now, whatever, 380 under.
Yeah. Did you happen to catch, I don't think you traded it, but maybe you did. Did you trade that Tilray yesterday?
I did not. I was praying.
Well, that's a good thing. So you're all atoned?
All atoned. I'm atoned out.
You're good for another year of stacking them up and have to go in again next year. And
five hours Tuesday night and I don't know how many, 6-7 yesterday. That's the most I've ever spent.
That's well, maybe you had more to atone.
It was a marathon.
Maybe you had more to atone for than usual.
Maybe.
You know, Catholics, you're supposed to go every time you do something, you're supposed to go. But anyhow.
You don't stack them up?
No, you can't just stack them up for the whole year. I think most, maybe it'd be too many to carry in. I don't know.
Yeah, really.
So,
and it was packed. I mean, wow. It was, the temple was just, I'm telling you, it was, they were putting them outside with monitors in the outside the sanctuary. It was unbelievable.
Well, they sell tickets, right? So how could they sell too many tickets?
Yeah, they sold as many as people wanted them. So they set up chairs in the, you know, in the outside vestibule.
Well, how
with screens, with big flat screens.
And a conservative or orthodoxy on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you guys? Are you guys a 5 or a 6 or what are you?
3.
All right.
Way down the list.
Well, we had an investor in BTI years ago, and Mel was pretty orthodox, but he didn't. I mean, he would eat out. I mean, they might have kept the Kosher house at home, but he would eat out. I mean, he wouldn't eat bacon, obviously, but he'd eat out, and he wouldn't wear any, you know, any clothes.
What's the fun if you don't eat bacon?
Well, I don't disagree. But now we know Howard is the number 10. He's right at the end of the clothes, the whole bit. And
But you know what, as reformed as this is, and there was lots of English, you know, speaking, not just Hebrew, but it was, there was enough traditional stuff that you got enough flavor. I didn't have any problem with it.
I've been to several Jewish weddings. On the last one I went to, which was very orthodox, I'd never been one before where the guys sit totally different from the girls. And I thought that was a little much.
Yeah, I can't handle that. It just, there's something to me that doesn't sit right with that. And I've been to a couple, but it just, that's not me.
Well, there's only so many guys you can see dancing, carrying guys over their head to where it gets a little old.
And, you know, the wall between and the doilies and stuff. It's like, I respect anybody's beliefs.
Me too.
That just isn't the way
it just seems like it's a little over the top. But I guess what I can't imagine is if there is a heaven, that Mel gets turned down because he didn't wear the outfit, because he'd be pretty religious. Anyway,
never know.
Have you ever seen, I'm going to say we have, when's the last time you saw something trade like this marijuana stack yesterday?
And
it's been the dot bomb era, I think, that I've seen something like that.
There was one that completely went bust. I can't even remember what it was, but it was in the early days, maybe 3-4 years ago, and they were going to be the answer to public being able to get Bitcoin, and it went from like, I don't know, $9, it wasn't even, it was a real company, I guess, because it was NASDAQ registered, but it went from like $9 to $500, and then, in a matter of days, they just said, you can't trade this anymore.
David, I'm going to run one by you here, but what was the, I hate asking people questions, but I don't know the answer, and I'm sure they don't know. What was the name of the gold mining stock in Australia? This is one for the listeners. This is a beauty. It was, I don't know what they came out with, but the thing was trading like a mother. And there was an engineer, a mining engineer, that was in a commercial plane. He looked out the window, and he says, that's where that mine's supposed to be. There's nothing down there. And it went from the highest flyer around to being worth nothing in like 3 days. Turns out there was no.
There was no company. That one, but it literally, it went from like 9 to 500 to maybe 7, and then goodbye.
Yeah, then out. There never even was a company. talk about bizarre.
This one, this Tilray, is a company. I mean, they don't have earnings, but they have revenues, and they obviously have some distribution channels, and, you know, being invited, you know, by whatever, Center for Disease Control or National Institute of Health or whatever to, you know, distribute, you know, or send in marijuana for medical investigations. It's a real company. That said, you know, and I'm not touting it, and I don't own a share, right now do I plan on it. So full disclosure, but it is a real company. But I can't remember anything trading, 60, 70, times sales, not times earnings, times projected sales, and in a matter of days exceeding, the capitalization of 140 S&P 500 companies. I cannot remember that.
Well, the thing was, I saw it at 190, as I mentioned when Fari was on. It stayed at 190 long enough for me to look at the options. Now, of course, they're many dollars wide, but then it's a 400 and some vol. I don't know the last time I saw a 400 and some vol. And for next Friday, so 7.5 trading days, of course, one trading in there is a lifetime, one trading day. I had the 190 calls and the 150 puts combined would have been $70. So you could have done the straddle right for $70, and you would have had to buy your other shares at 120. Well, it couldn't have been 20 minutes later that thing's trading like 220. Then it trades 300. Larry says, yeah, it traded 300. I saw it at 270. Stops trading. It's offered at 140. Opens again at 150, even though it was offered at 140 and nobody bought it there. It opens 150 and then proceeds to trade up to like 220. Now it's 228. So it traveled over 300 to offered at 140 to close in the middle. You can only imagine yourself buying some, selling it at 300, buying it again at 150, and selling it at 240. But that's all you can do about that is imagine it, because it's really hard to do. Matter of fact, I'd say, do you think anybody did that? Probably somebody somewhere did that with 100 shares. But actually, we had a couple clients here that traded something. It wasn't in our direction, and I think they made a few bucks. I don't think it wasn't like that. They didn't make that much. But we had a couple people that traded it.
I mean, I'm looking at yesterday's close, and I obviously did not watch any of the action yesterday. It was bad enough $40 up the day before.
Yeah.
But October 5th, I mean, you know, you're not talking, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? 105 puts, you know, as of yesterday's close, $50 out of the money, 10 bucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they're all a sale at some point, but I don't really want to be the guy to sell them. It's crazy, but I mean, but that's what happened, and I think these people, retail people now are chasing these returns big time, and I don't, you know what? If you take, as we've been saying all year, the market's getting narrower and narrower. Those last few days since they decided to go with the 10% tariff and not the 25%, I don't think anybody thinks there's going to be any more tariff stuff before the election, but they could be wrong with, you know, this guy. And we've settled in on this, but I was listening to Ken Langone this morning. David, I mean, I can't even begin to want to listen to the guy anymore. But whenever you see, Professor Goodhart, we've had on, and he said, you know, when a economic statistic becomes a target, it ceases to be value a statistic. And you and I, maybe me more than you, because I was a University of Chicago guy. When I came out of grad school, I mean, I would genuflect to the altar of the market. The market knew everything. It was the all-seeing. Everybody working their fanny off to find a bargain really meant so many people were working trying to find a bargain that everything was priced darn near perfectly, and if it wasn't, it would be in an hour. And that was my view of the whole world, this thing. Now, I'm to the point where, I don't know, there's so many people impacting it, the Fed, everybody else. So when you get a guy like Ken Langone, look how great retail is. Look at the retail stocks. I'm not so sure there's a connection there.
And of course, he was, you know, the co-founder of Home Depot.
Sure. So, I mean, okay, look at how great you're doing. Look at the Macy's stack. Well, I see the people I care about just got a $20 billion tax on stuff they're importing from China. Right? I mean, how's that a good week?
I get it.
So, I mean, what do you think?
I think underneath everything, I think the thing that's made it so weird, I mean, I still try and believe in the efficiency of the market, and even though it may look, you know, out of whack, it is looking down the road. I used to think maybe 14 months, maybe it's only 6 months now, who knows. But I think the thing that really has affected just the way things move, even Tilray, I mean, not so much Tilray because there's just no capitalization and there's huge, huge, huge shorts that literally have to pay money to borrow the stock, otherwise they can't get it. So that's a unique situation.
You think it's even borrowable, David?
Supposedly that it is, but you literally have to pay a fee. A fee per share to borrow it. I read this yesterday.
Well, that's
in Reuters.
That, yeah, okay.
Absolutely insane.
It's not all that uncommon, though. By the way,
but of the others, excluding Tilray, you know, some of your other cannabis stocks, even, you know, high price stocks like Google or Amazon, Apple. I think one of the huge things that's really affected volatility and where you start doubting the market's ability to efficiently price, you know, future earnings in line with interest rate differentials is the stock buybacks. When you cut, you know, AutoZone, I don't have a share and haven't traded it for many years, full disclosure, but that stock, I mean, in 10 years, they've cut the number of outstanding shares by 35%. Well, you know, how do you get a handle? You know, they've had three or four bad quarters in the last year and a half, and the stock's $754. Well, if there's no supply, you know, then whatever their earnings are, you know, over less shares, just mechanically gives the stock a boost.
Well, that's true. And it's somewhat manipulative, but it's also a supply and demand issue. If everybody,
and if there's no supply,
well, that's right. I mean, if everybody decided tomorrow, I mean, I don't know how much money people have in their savings. I can find out, but if everybody tomorrow decided, okay, we're going to go out of bonds. I mean, everybody really can't do that because if you sell, because here's the fallacy of what I was about to say. If everybody got out of bonds and went into stocks, just think of what would happen. But the simple fact is, and this whenever you, again, I don't try and lecture too much here, or maybe I would too much more, or I do too much, but think of everything as a transaction. If somebody at PTI has a corporate bond, IBM, GM, whatever, and we have a lot of people bring those in, so we have a bunch here. If somebody says to me, or my brother Dan or David, and says, hey, Chief, sell my $200,000 worth of IBM bonds or GM bonds or Ford bonds or whatever the hell it is, could be a, well, I won't say muni, well, even munis, but say it's a corporate bond. Sell me that and buy me the IBM stock. Simple transaction. I'd rather be in, I think the bond, the interest rates are going up, so my bond's going to go down. I want out and buy me in the stock. By the way, the stock's growing. You know, I think it's going to be too, well, whatever. So if people are going to say, for Jay-Z, who makes that phone call, she is moving her money from bonds. She's selling one and buying another. Okay, but when you say the market, okay, now she's putting some pressure, even though a little bit, she's putting pressure on the bond side down and the stock side up. I mean, in theory, if a sparrow lands on the Golden Gate Bridge, it's going to stretch a little bit, right, David? But in truth, somebody is buying that bond from her that has the absolute other opinion, or maybe they just think it's a good price. But somebody, so there's no net money there, quote, in the market.
Right.
And then that money.
And obviously on the other side.
Right. And she turns around and buys IBM.
The stock as well.
Somebody there is selling. And that's when we used to lecture more, David, and probably will start again as the market looks like it's, you know, needing some more care and feeding and protection than it has been for a while. And our Protect the Index program will all of a sudden be the best program on the street again, like it was for a long time. I'm going to say that you think that the net money doesn't move. The market doesn't have money. And whenever I used to give a lecture, I'd say, okay, you like General Electric. Of course, that's a bad one to use now. But say, back in the old days, you like General Electric. Well, yeah. And you got four guys that really know the market. You know, you talk to David, and he's a timer or a technical guy, and you talk to a fundamental guy, and you got it figured out. You're going to take $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, and you're going to buy GE. Well, yeah. Okay, well, what makes you think you're right today? Well, what do you mean? I got David's opinion. I got this guy's opinion. I got 48 newsletter writers coming in. I got everything in the world. I listened to Kramer. I did this. I did everything. It's a buy. I said, well, who did you buy it from? What do you mean? No, seriously, who did you buy it from? Well, I just bought it. Yeah, but somebody sold it to you, right?
Right.
Well, I guess so. No, don't guess so. Somebody sold it to you. So as much as you think this is a spectacular buy, somebody is more than willing to say, here, it's yours. So what makes you think that you're right? Now, granted, you might be going to hang on to this for 5 years or whatever, but for that given moment, what makes you think the guy on the other side is dumber than you?
Well, and beyond, you know, if quote-unquote, everybody sold bonds and went into stocks, I mean, obviously somebody has to buy it on the other end, but the force of a massive liquidation of bonds, you know, sooner or later the buyers say, I'm not buying unless you sell it to me at a lower price,
right, sure,
which forces interest rates up, and then you have to have the comps. You have the comps between interest rate yields and, you know, what stocks yield and potential capital gains or not.
Well, that's right. And then if you drive the bonds down to the point where the rate there is 6% instead of 4,
right,
and you couldn't wait to get out of it, then somebody buying a stock is going to say, wait a minute,
right,
at 4%, I like the bonds,
yeah,
again, and you go back the other way.
So the more massive the bond liquidation, eventually, not today, tomorrow, but eventually down the road, it's going to put pressure on the stocks as well.
Right, because somebody's going to say, I don't want IBM at 170 when I can get IBM bonds paying 6%. I'll just do that for a while.
Right.
And it swings back the other way.
Right.
And so I don't... what do you think about these, since I have a big position in here, what do you think about these oil prices? David, my sense is, even though I honestly believe, and I think you might agree with me, that if everybody keep their fingers off the oil market, and somehow Venezuela got their act together, which I don't see is going to happen in our lifetime, but if they do, and Iran comes off, you know, the bad boy status, which I don't see that happening for a while, I think the real price of oil is somewhere between 50 and 60. But
I agree.
Having said that, I think right now it creeps back up. And what is,
the chart is, I mean, you are really right at the crossroads. November is the most actively traded futures contract, and we're sitting in the overnight market at 70.60, overnight high of 71.35. Between 71 and 71.15, so really narrow range, there are huge, huge tops. It ticked over it in the overnight and back below. You tick above 71.10 and you really close above it, say, 2 days, you're looking 75, 76. So whether there's a political premium or Iran or Venezuela or China making a deal with Venezuela, which looks like they're trying to do, or whatever the story is, it looks like either stop it here or the next penny, next dollar up, or it's got $5 or $6 more to the upside. And I'm not bullish. I'm in your camp. I think it belongs lower. But the chart looks like the bears have a big problem unless they stop it now.
Yeah, well, I don't. I mean, I listen to stuff like this. Last week, you know, Trump was talking about absolutely putting the screws to Iran, and he's not going to trade with anybody who buys oil from Iran. He basically wants them out of the market, which obviously he must know raises the price of oil. Now today he blasts OPEC because he wants oil prices lower. Monopoly must get prices down. Does this guy have any idea what he's doing? or else he's dumb like a fox, and his people are making money trading this stuff. One or the other.
I don't know. He may know what he's doing. I would think if he doesn't, he seems to have assembled, you know, some pretty smart minds around him that, if nothing else, can tell him where he doesn't know. But the spur of the moment tweets and this and that and the other, he believes he can. There's no question in my mind. He wouldn't be sending out all these tweets if he didn't think they could move markets. And for a small period of time, short period of time, they probably do. But I think it's, I don't think it's good policy to rule by tweets.
How much trading? How much of any trading do you think is coming out of there? I wouldn't trust these guys as far as I could throw them.
No,
I don't think the Obama people were smart enough to trade ahead of it. But these guys are.
I don't know about that.
Well, maybe.
I think the preponderance is definitely right now.
Well, what we've got to mark it up again today. Are we going to hit all highs, or is this the last gasp?
You've gapped above it in the overnight. I mean, it's anymore, and being frank, you know, for a week and a half, I said, you know, up near these highs, 29.11 to 17 in the December S&P future was a sale, and we're at 29.26. So you maintain today's early gains. Can't be short right now. I wouldn't be long, and I would be protected, but you cannot. You can only sell it on the way down now. You cannot sell it here, because a gap to new highs, if it's maintained, who knows? Maybe you go right to 3,000.
Well, I'm long. I'm stinky long in all three of my spots, so your lips to God's ear. 10-year yield, I got it almost 3.1 now, 3.096. When does that...
Yeah, what was the high? Was it 312 or 317?
You mean recently?
Yeah, recently.
I don't think it got this high. You're talking about like last...
No. A few months ago, it just ticked to like...
I'm going to say
312, and it went right down to 290.
I'm thinking it was like last March or April.
Yeah.
I might have been right here. I could go to the Treasury page, but I don't know if we have time for that. There's a Treasury page that gives you all these different, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. I mean, what do you make of the 5-year being like, one 10 basis points below the 10-year? I mean, it's pretty darn flat.
But trying to invert. I mean, what, the 2.10 is 25. 25 basis points. It was as low as 19 or 20.
I'd be stunned if we invert at this level. I mean, I saw a pretty bad invert, pretty well, bad or good, depending on how you liked it. Back in the 80s, what was the short term was what, 13, and the long term was 8 or 9 or something like that. Was it that bad, or was it like?
I don't remember. You have a better memory than I do, but I know you're in the right ballpark.
Yeah, because people figured, if they couldn't fix it 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to be out of business or something. So they had to come down, basically.
Right.
But I'm surprised. I mean, do they think that the with inflation perking up the way it is, that we'll ever be able, the Fed will ever be able to get rates back down to zero? I mean, are we ever going to get to the point where somebody's going to lend money to somebody for zero again in the foreseeable future?
Well, except, I tend to agree with you, but if the yield curve inverts and there's a big time slowing of of GDP, then maybe, you know, for a half a point higher or whatever, that gives them tools to turn around and lower rates again.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, sometimes, David, you look at things and you look at, you know, common sense. I mean, you look at, back in our day, I mean, a hula hoop had a patent to it, and everybody had to have a hula hoop. But at some point, if it was $100, you know, your parents going to say you don't need one.
Right.
You know, but I mean, there's no way on earth you and I are going to invest any of our people's money in a bond at 0%. It's just a horrible trade. I mean,
or the risk of Tilray at 230.
Yeah, you're just not going to do it. The only person that did it was the Fed. Anyway, David, thank you very much. S&P futures up 11.25. Dow futures up like 150. NASDAQ futures up 42. Big, huge day so far. Talk about it tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.